You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson, your host here, covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like no one else does. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans, by Saints fans, and you know what it is. Go ahead and throw me a follow on Twitter at RossJacksonASC. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome in and thank you so much for being here. Please take a moment to show your support by subscribing and help spread the word by sharing, rating, and reviewing. Lots to talk about today on Monday's Locked On Saints. The combine is just about wrapped up and official times are being updated for safeties in today's workouts. I'm recording this right now as on-field drills are still taking place. We'll start with the combine today and talk about the four prospects that the Saints have had their formal meetings with this weekend, and then we'll update some free agent news around Mark Ingram and Teddy Bridgewater, and then take a look at some of the big stories from around the league and the combine weekend and how it all affects the Saints. Got all that for you. And of course, as always, a little bit of land yap right here on Locked On Saints. And of course, remember, when you get in your car, to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints, just start with your device's keyword, then the phrase play podcast, and then Locked On Saints or any of your other favorite Locked On podcasts. Definitely make sure you're checking out the Locked On NFL and Locked On NFL Draft podcast to keep up to date with all of the prospects and free agent moves that you need to know about from the national perspective. But for the Saints perspective, make sure you keep it locked here on Locked On Saints. All right, so let's pick it up from the combine here, talking about the four prospects that the Saints had formal meetings with: Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins, Wisconsin edge rusher Carl Granderson, Minnesota linebacker Blake Cashman, and Notre Dame defensive tackle Jerry Tillery. The meeting with Haskins was definitely more of a due diligence type move, in my opinion. The Saints very likely can't and probably wouldn't make a move to get in position to draft Haskins unless he takes some type of catastrophic fall. And then if that happened, there'd probably be an entire reason to avoid him entirely. But with the fact that he's a top prospect from a school that they love to draft from, it makes sense that they would take the time to visit with him. Haskins did look good at the combine, though his measurables were pretty much entirely predictable. He went out there and he did what was expected to sort of stay on course, locking himself up as one of the top prospects in the draft. Wisconsin edge rusher Carl Granderson also met with the Saints at the Senior Bowl this year. He'll likely be available for the Saints in the fifth round, their second pick in, which is their second pick currently. Granderson ran a 4.79 40 and notched the sixth best edge broad jump at 119 inches, showing great explosiveness. However, Granderson did have a sexual assault and sexual battery charges leveraged against him last month and did not comment on them publicly, which may explain the formal meeting as sort of a closed doors means of addressing the situation with each team and interviews individually. I don't expect the Saints to take Granderson, or really any pass rusher for that matter, in this draft, unless they're far and away the best player available. And just for my own personal views, if Granderson was the best player available, I'd still skip him and go second best available, just knowing that these charges sort of loom over him and the potential of what he's done. Don't really want any of that business. Minnesota linebacker Blake Cashman's next on our list here. You've heard me bring him up over on the linebacker combine review, as well as one of my episodes over at All Saints Considered with Tyler McClatchy. Cashman is a smart and physical downhill guy that could be a great cerebral addition to the defense. Not a super solid coverage guy, but that's not a big deal in the Saints defense, which is usually a nickel base, so he would be off the field for passing downs anyway, or at least could do that if he worked out at the Sam position. He ran really well at the combine, tying for third amongst linebackers with a 4.5 flat. He also added a 37.5 vertical jump and a 124-inch broad jump, which all of those things are above the 85th percentile at his position. He also went along to add a 4.12 short shuttle, which is really great, shows a lot of agility there. His smaller arms might make teams hesitate, but he's too physical and athletic a player to ignore if he's there in the fifth or sixth round. Glad to see that the Saints met with him, as he's a sleeper of mine in the draft, though maybe not anymore, not so much anymore, with a solid combine performance. And then finally, Notre Dame defensive tackle Jerry Tillery. You already know this is one of my favorite prospects this year. His eclectic range of interest and intelligence have sort of gotten him pegged as not being dedicated to football, but I don't see anything wrong with harmonious passion. He's a traveler, reader, museum enthusiast, studied racial inequality in Cape Town, and a stock market junkie. Hard to call any of those things bad qualities, but I guess if you break the mold, you'll always find a way to be criticized. Again, I compare this to Marcus Davenport, who was both celebrated and knocked for writing poetry and wearing, you know, we should all be feminist t-shirts, things like that. Tillery's personality, drive, and skill as an interior pass rusher would help fit the socially active team of New Orleans already there, and the defense led by Cameron Jordan and Demario Davis. Tillery impressed at the combine as well with a 4.93 40 yard dash and 22 bench reps, and he also added a 32 inch vertical, ranking in the 81st percentile as well, with the short shuttle showing above average agility, and scored the highest spark test amongst his position. Now, remember, Saints visits don't always translate into who they select in the draft, especially around combine time. A lot of this is due diligence and grading top prospects at their positions. Remember that the Saints didn't even meet with Marcus Davenport last year before giving up all that they gave up to get him at pick 14. So these interviews aren't always a solid identifier for where Peyton Loomis and Ireland are headed in April. All right, y'all, stick around. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some free agent updates. We'll talk about Mark Ingram's agent meeting with the Saints, the potential of Adam Humphries to New Orleans, and then some other things that are going on around the league that might affect Teddy Bridgewater staying in New Orleans. Stick around. We got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here. All right, welcome back, Who Dat Nation. In a little while, we're going to talk about some big stories from around the league, but right now, we're sticking around with the Saints focus here, talking about some free agent updates. Remember, if you want to tune into the show in your car, it's super easy. Just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints, and there we are. All right, so let's talk about these free agent updates. Let's start off with Mark Ingram, whose agent met with the Saints. So, Sean Payton reiterated during the combine that the Saints do intend to work out a deal with impending free agent running back Mark Ingram. Ingram's manager, Paul Bobbitt of VIP Sports, met with the Saints on March 2nd to discuss contract details and keeping the culture-shaping running back in New Orleans. No news has come from the meeting just yet, so negotiations are likely to continue. The Saints do have until the 13th of this month to re-sign Ingram before he hits the open market. Other teams can, however, start contacting him on March 11th, where teams and players can agree to deals on principle, so probably best for the Saints to get all of that taken care of before the 11th, at least that's probably what's in their best interest. Now, while Antonio Brown is looking unlikely to end up in a Saints uniform, Adam Humphries might be the guy the Saints are targeting. The Antonio Brown to New Orleans talks have cooled off just as quickly as they'd begun, much to my pleasure. Sean Payton confirmed that the Saints had not reached out or inquired about AB, adding with some snark that even if they had, he wouldn't tell the media anyway. Soon after, a video was released of Antonio Brown, or at least I think it was soon after, it was right around the same time. It might have been like earlier in the morning and I just didn't see it until afterwards. But anyway, Antonio Brown talking about how any team that he goes to is going to have to play by his rules, and I immediately closed the door on the conversation altogether because the Saints team is very much a buy into the philosophy type team, not at all me oriented franchise there. That's the attitude that sent Brandon Cooks out of the door for a lesser offense than I think of what AB is exclaiming in these interviews. So Larry Holder actually tweeted out soon after that he's hearing that Adam Humphries is a more likely target for New Orleans than Antonio Brown, which makes sense. The Saints don't need a top receiver. They have one, a very good one. They have a deep threat for at least next year in Ted Ginn Jr. and another developing one in Tre'Quan Smith. If they want to add to this pass catching core outside of tight end, slot receiver would be the place to do it. The thing is that, you know, Drew Brees hasn't had a solid slot option, a solid experienced slot option since Lance Moore, really. I mean, you could throw Willie Snead in there who had the good season a few years ago, but in terms of a solid, reliable, experienced slot wide receiver, he hasn't had one since Lance Moore. Humphries is one of the best slot receivers on the market. However, Terrez Paylor sourcing that he and other top slot guys are asking for up to $10 to $14 million a year. Now, that category does include Golden Tate, so maybe he's the one leveraging for hire. And apparently, Cole Beasley, who's another slot technician, is also asking for $20 million guaranteed over the course of his contract. If Humphries is actually asking for that price, I'm confident that he'll eventually drop that number when he realizes that the market is not going to pay that much for his services, not per year. If the Saints do go down the draft route to try to fill the slot, keep Stanford's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Anthony Johnson of Buffalo, and Andy Isabella from UMass in mind. It's looking like Nick Foles looks to be heading to Jacksonville. It's been in the news for the last couple days, and now Bleacher Report followed it up with a story yesterday that the Jacksonville Jaguars, quote unquote, absolutely expect to sign Nick Foles. If they do so, that's yet another quarterback needy team off the list of contenders for Teddy Bridgewater. Denver landed Joe Flacco. The Jags are expected to be signing Nick Foles. The Giants are content with Eli and have a top draft pick that where they can get in range of a quarterback. Washington is pretty much on top of the list as a place to land Josh Rosen via trade. They've also talked to Ryan Tannehill, but we'll talk to the Dolphins about Ryan Tannehill, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later. It's unlikely that Oakland will trade away David Carr, even though they're talking about him being on the block. And of course, Case Keenum is still on the market. The only team left really in the debate will be Miami. And that's only if they move on from Ryan Tannehill, which again, we'll talk about here in a bit. The only thing is that even when they move on from him, they're still not really, they're still a cash-strapped team. They're more cash-strapped and in a worse salary position than the Saints are right now, actually. They have less money than New Orleans with less avenues to gain more money, if that makes sense. The Saints have cuts that they can make, restructures, things like that. You know, the Dolphins have been shredding cap space for the last, just about the entire month of February and are still below $10 million in cap space. They've been reporting as being, has also been reported as being willing to wait a year for Tua Tagovailoa to come out into the draft next year. So with that being the case, New Orleans is still really the best option for Bridgewater in terms of money. No one can make it happen like Loomis can. Opportunity, a long-term contract, and more than likely starting next season, and winning potential playing for one of the top teams in the NFL. I've been nervous about tying up so much money in the quarterback position, but it doesn't look like there's really going to be much of a market out there to compete with for Teddy Bridgewater. So the Saints should be able to work it out essentially so that his contract doesn't cripple the team this season. They can still continue to add weapons around Drew Brees for his potential last run and go ahead and lock Teddy Bridgewater up as a future franchise quarterback for New Orleans. They also have the safety of a deep, deep draft class next year full of quarterbacks that you can select as an insurance plan in case Bridgewater's health is of concern, which probably is just a smart thing to do anyway. So, of course, I'm here every Monday through Friday, and we'll continue to keep you up to date with everything going on with Mark Ingram's contract negotiations, Teddy Bridgewater's contract negotiations, what's going on with other quarterbacks, all of that. I have a little bit of that coming up for you next right here on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about some of the big stories from around the NFL. Of course, we're going to talk about DK Metcalf, who lit up the combine. We'll also talk about some other fantastic performances for players that the Saints can actually have in mind. There's no way they're getting DK Metcalf, but some other players that really perform well at the combine that the Saints can keep on their radar. And then, of course, we'll talk a little bit more quarterback news, as it sounds like something really interesting is going down in Arizona, which can also affect the Teddy Bridgewater market as well. So we got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Again, thank you so much for being here. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Please, again, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, do take a moment to subscribe to the podcast. Helps a ton, helps get the exposure out there. I work really hard to get these out every day, and we are going into massive news time, so I'm going to be grinding. So I appreciate all of your support. Make sure you're also sharing the podcast with your friends, family, all that stuff. Anything that you can do, rating, reviewing, all that helps a ton, especially going into this huge part of the season. So let's jump now into some of the big stories from around the league. You know, we got to talk about DK Metcalf. Oh my goodness. Metcalf put on a show at the combine this weekend, absolutely destroying the workouts, running a 4.33 40 with a 40 and a half vertical and a 134 inch broad jump with 27 bench reps, which is incredible for a wide receiver, especially with arms at his length. That's 99th percentile on the bench, 97th percentile in the broad jump, 95th in the 40, and 93rd in the vertical, all while standing at 6'3" and 3/8 of an inch, 228 pounds. Definitely one of the top performances of many standouts at this year's combine. This was a lot of fun to watch. From the Saints' perspective, there's no way that the Saints end up in range to draft DK Metcalf, but they'll definitely be interested in where he ends up, as he now has, or I think he kind of had the chance before, but he has solidified the chance now that he might go in the top 5 or 10 in this draft, with analysts giving him some of the highest grades they've ever given at the wideout position. With Tampa Bay selecting in the 5th, they don't need a wide receiver. They're very sort of happy with what their wide receiver core looks like, but New Orleans is not going to like seeing another top wide receiver fall into the laps of another NFC South rival, just like Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore did last year. I'd be perfectly unsurprised, though, to see Metcalf go to the 49ers, but Quinnen Williams is also a stud and also performed super well at the combine. They'll have a big choice to make if Bosa, Williams, and Metcalf are all there at pick number 2, so that's an NFC, not necessarily an NFC South rival, but still competition in the NFC, and whichever way it goes, I definitely don't need to see him end up in a Bruce Arians offense down in Tampa Bay, which again is highly unlikely. They've got other needs that they need to fill, even if he is there, but man, him, Devin White could be somebody that goes to Tampa Bay as well to play alongside Quan Alexander. He lit up at that idea during some of the interviews and stuff like that. You can find that on Twitter. Just, man, look, Tampa Bay is in position to do some damage in the NFC South, but I feel like we also say that every year, so I guess we'll see what happens. Dylan Sanders and I were talking about that, as well as Brandon Olson, when we were live streaming the NFL draft over on Twitch, that, you know, it feels like every year we always talk about, like, yo, Tampa Bay might be good this year, so we'll see what happens. I mean, Bruce Arians being in the building definitely helps out, and with the core of picks that's going to be, you know, available to them at round 5, including potentially DK Metcalf, Saints are going to need to watch out for what Tampa Bay ends up doing. But honestly, we'll have to wait and see what happens to see if Tampa Bay just continues to Tampa Bay themselves all over the place. So, all right, Josh Rosen is on the trading block, potentially. Josh Rosen potentially, or rather reportedly, on the trading block as Cliff Kingsbury looks to be all in for Kyler Murray with the first pick of the draft. Draft insider Tony Pauline reported that Cliff Kingsbury was telling people at the combine that Kyler Murray to Arizona is a quote-unquote done deal. This would mean shipping away Rosen, and it looks like, as I mentioned earlier, that Washington might be the front runner at this moment. Looking like the Cards won't get much more than a third rounder on the market for the second year quarterback. Now, understand, this is Cliff Kingsbury coming into this team for his first year, trading away a quarterback that the Cardinals went in on just last year in the draft to go ahead and get his guy, who he did reportedly say before, you know, ever even getting the job in the NFL or anything like that, that if he had the chance to draft Kyler Murray number one, he would do it. So it looks like they are setting up to do it. And you know what? It makes sense. Kingsbury's offense isn't built for pocket passers and would be perfect with Murray's mobility. Rosen would find himself on a new team in 2019, adding further fuel to his fire after going lower than expected in 2018. Now, could the Saints benefit from a young pocket passer on a rookie deal like Josh Rosen? Yeah, absolutely. Don't get me wrong, he got a tough rap after struggling through his first season and a stagnant offense that Mahomi Colin even pointed out. Look, David Johnson struggled in that offense. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not personally a big fan of the idea of Rosen as a quarterback for the Saints, and they didn't seem very high on him last year, certainly not like they were for Baker, but if it all works out and Rosen actually ends up heading to Washington, no loss for New Orleans, who doesn't need to make a move for an effective pocket passer, but instead will have one sitting there in Teddy Bridgewater as one of the last contending teams satisfies their quarterback need. Washington and Miami have also engaged in talks, gauging the interest for quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Either way that it goes, it looks like Washington is willing to trade for a quarterback that they like, as opposed to waiting to sign Bridgewater without giving up assets. They've also even been connected to Denver, who is shopping Case Keenum. So again, the market is looking more and more, looking better and better, let me say it that way, for the Saints in maintaining Teddy Bridgewater into next season. Finally, let's take a look at some possible Saints targets who performed really well at the combine. LSU tight end Foster Moreau had a solid outing, running 4.66, fifth for tight ends, 22 bench press, tied for second, 121-inch broad jump, fourth among tight ends, and also ran the top short shuttle at his position with a 4.11. Moreau was looking like an option for the Saints in the fifth round, but could have raised his stock into day two, potentially. Keep an eye out on wide receiver out of Notre Dame, Miles Boykin, who stood out on Saturday and probably would have been the talk of the wide receiver combine had it not been for DK Metcalf. He jumped 43.5 inches on his vertical, ran a 4.4 240, and also added a 140-inch broad jump, all while standing at 6'4", 220 pounds, with 33.5-inch arms. He also ran a short shuttle of 4.07, third among wide receivers, and one of the fastest at the combine, I believe, as it stands at this moment, fifth in the combine. Ohio State wide receiver Paris Campbell also flew up boards by posting a 4.31 40-yard dash, tying for the combine's fastest time. He also tied for the fastest short shuttle at 4.03. His Ohio State roots help make him a possibility for New Orleans, don't get me wrong, but he'll likely be going in the second round, too high for a receiver with a limited route tree, in my opinion. If you're not unexpectedly scooping up a wide receiver like Hakeem Butler, Deebo Samuel, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, or Riley Ridley in the second round, I say wait on a wide receiver, go a little bit later. Speaking of Hakeem Butler, he also had a hell of a day, measuring in at 6'5", 227 pounds, with 35.25-inch arms. That's incredible. That's longer than most tackles. And a freakish wingspan with huge hands. He managed to run with that frame a 4.48 and put up 18 bench presses, which is crazy at that arm length. He also added a 36-inch vertical leap with a 128-inch broad jump. The Iowa State wide receiver has solidified himself as the second or third best wide receiver in the class, depending on how you feel about Keneal Harry, who also showed out this weekend. And finally, I just want to give a big shout out to LSU grads Devin White and Greedy Williams for their days at the combine as well. Devin White put on a show and Greedy blazed the 40, but did struggle in on-field drills a little bit. The LSU crop performed very well, including Foster Moreau, aforementioned, but nothing will stand out beyond Devin White recording a 4.42 40, the fastest recorded by a linebacker in the modern combine era. Clearly emotional and touched, you know, as he was FaceTiming with family and friends when he had learned, after he had learned what he had done. If you want to hear more about that and other LSU news, make sure that you check out Matt Moscona over at the Locked On LSU podcast. He's going to be keeping you up to date with all of LSU's NFL prospects, the great baseball team up there, and of course the red hot basketball team that's en route to at least a share of the SEC's first place ranking. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's Locked On Saints. Make sure you stick with me throughout the rest of the week as we're keeping you up to date on everything going on with the draft, the, you know, free agency. We might have some emergency podcasts because, you know, things are about to start heating up with free agency right around the corner. But as always, I just want to say thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And please take some time to rate and review. And if you haven't already, if this is your first time with us, please be sure to subscribe as well. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. And then, of course, if you're subscribed, you'll know every time a new episode drops every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all of your support and helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust, Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.